Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hello, Coach Jen here from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's October 28th, episode 775, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
Yes, Glenn is not here, and we can... We do not have all of the audio, so good job, Jen. I mean, who doesn't need to start a Monday morning with Green on Green by Marion Kennedy?
Right. And you're dealing with a complete and rank amateur here, so good luck, Jamie.
Oh, you did fantastic. So Glenn is down and out with a little bit of food poisoning, which means Jennifer has been – have you been a slave to a needy, whiny man all week, all weekend?
Happily so, yes. I have been waiting hand and foot on his every need, force-feeding him electrolytes for several days now. And he's getting a little bit better now because he has enough energy to complain. For the first 24 hours, there was not sufficient energy to complain. You know it's bad.
So when somebody has food poisoning and you say you happily are helping them out, that means he's standing right behind you?
Right.
But he can't hear.
He's in the next room and he's listening.
Yeah, exactly. I understand. And I force-fed Jet electrolytes over the weekend, so I totally get it.
You get it. So
yes,
is Jet still having tummy troubles, or is he is he over his food poisoning?
You know, it's weird. Like, he has every morning it's like a different horse. It went out there on Friday morning after the show. And I'm sorry, I didn't do the show Friday. I went out there Friday morning, and he just didn't really want to eat anything. And then by noon, he was fine. So, of course, I'm calling my vet. She's like, okay, well, let's try it. And so I gave him his Gastroguard, and then he was fine. And then he's been fine all weekend long. So just a weird, I don't know what the heck it is. So
isn't he usually Mr. Hungry all the time, normally?
Yes. Crazy for food. So he's doing a lot better, I must say. That's the only thing. It's every morning I'm like, okay, what? Please be hungry. Okay, yeah. He's hungry. Good. Yay.
Yay.
Weird. But he doesn't really like the beet pulp. And I think that might be one of the big problems is he's just like, it's okay. So now I have the beet pulp and I take a handful of the grain and I sprinkle the grain on the top, but then I can't put his electrolytes in the beet pulp, so then I have to put some electrolytes in the syringe and jam it down his throat, which he's already mad at me because I've already jammed Gastroguard down his throat. So pretty much if I walk into the stall with him, now he puts his butt to me. He wants no part of me.
See, you need to find somebody else to do the nursing so that you can be the good guy. You have to have the good cop, bad cop thing going.
Yeah, I've already had to have each student every evening. Like, I have a student Monday through Friday. I'm like, can you go get Jet? And he's like, oh, look, new person. I'll stand in such. Oh, damn it. He sees me coming. So.
You can't come out now.
No, exactly. Hey, so obviously Glenn's not here. Let's tell everybody what is coming up on today's show.
Well, today, the other day on Facebook, Elisa Wallace, who a lot of our listeners remember because she's been on the show before, had fledged the Mustang at the Mustang Makeover in, I think it was last year or year before, and she came on and told us all about her fantastic horse fledge. Well, she went to the Mustang Millions again this year with Mim and Rune, two more wonderful Mustangs. But I saw a post on her Facebook page, and it appears she is horse shopping. And anytime somebody's horse shopping, we want to know about it. So she's going to come on this morning and tell us about her quest for a super-duper eventing Mustang. That's what we're going to start out with. And we're going to have a little chit-chat about the latest headlines. And we might have a snarky list to talk about being forgetful. We'll stick that there
okay.
in the middle. And, of course, it's Monday, so Wacky World of Horse Nation is here. And who knows what Wiley's going to bring with her. Something that will make us laugh.
Yeah. I'm sure. And we've got some news for you, too. And, you know, obviously, kind of a big weekend coming up in the horse racing world. We've got the Breeders' Cup coming up this weekend. And Gary Stevens is – I'm so excited. Gary Stevens is the jockey for Mucho Macho Man. Tell me how they can't win this race. But some people are not thinking – we'll talk more about that in a minute. But I like this news story because there's a news story that came out that says Horse of the Year is Game On Dudes to Lose. And I didn't realize this, but Game On Dude is a gelding. Did you know that?
That's right. That kind of I probably knew it, but it's, you know, it went in one ear and out the other. So interesting.
The other thing that caught my attention is three geldings in the entire history of Horse of the Year have won the award for Reigning Horse of the Year, and that's Forgo, John Henry, and reigning champion Wise Dan. Did you know that Wise Dan was a gelding?
No, if all three, well, John Henry I knew, but any Forgo or Wise Dan, if you had said gelding or stallion, of course stallion. It would never have occurred to me. Wow.
I feel like somewhere in the coffers of my brain, I should know why Dan is a gelding because I've been following him for a while, but I just did not know that. So apparently, Game On Dude they're saying that if he wins the classic, hands down, he's Horse of the Year. However, if he comes in a close second, just like Zenyatta in 2010, he could get Horse of the Year as a close second. But if Wise Dan or Princess of Silmar win the classic, then if he doesn't, then Wise Dan or Princess of Silmar could actually get Horse of the Year. So just this article was interesting, just simply because I didn't realize only three geldings have won and that Wise Dan was a gelding. And
so
Game On Dude
do we know who's riding Game On Dude in the classic?
Game On Dude is going to be ridden. I don't know. Hopefully it's Mike Smith.
Well, isn't Mike Smith riding Mucho Macho Man in the classic? Or is it two different classics?
No, Gary Stevens is riding Mucho Macho Man.
Oh yes. Okay, got it. Mike Smith. Yeah. Then we know Game On Dude will come in second. Yeah.
Exactly. Someday I'm going to get a cease and desist letter from him and his people.
Yes, you are. Now, are there conversations going on in the deep, dark recesses of golf clubs and other social clubs for men around the world saying, we can't let another gelding win Horse of the Year because it is a complete marketing waste? Because the whole point behind winning Horse of the Year is so that whatever horse wins can earn more money when they retire.
Obviously, it would be, it would be nice for the owner of any other horse that is in contention to win, because obviously you have a horse of the year, it's going to be a breeding stallion for quite some time. I wonder if Mucho Macho Man won the classic, would he be in consideration for Horse of the Year? He's had a pretty good year.
I think so, but, you know, he doesn't seem to get quite the love from the press that some of the others do, maybe because he doesn't have a rock star on the front page of the Blood Horse Every Week trainer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
I think those
Kathy, she's got a great story, but you're right. She's not like the Bob Bafferts and all that. So that might be part of it. And I am interested because obviously I love Wise Dan. If he wins his turf, he usually runs a mile turf. If he wins, he should be Horse of the Year. He's only lost and one race, and it was a close second, so I can't imagine that he wouldn't be in contention again. So whoever this person is that wrote this article can suck it, because obviously Game On Dude is not going to win.
Was it Game On Dude that had is the gray with who had the blue tail and then didn't have the blue tail?
No, that's Hanson, and he's retired.
Oh, that's Hanson.
And he just, remember, he's the one that just got sold to Japan or something.
That sucks.
I know. Apparently,
nothing against Japan or anything.
Yeah. In other racing news, jockey Glenn, if you're listening, I need you to sit down. I need you to have a seat because I'm going to say something in your weakened condition that might knock you off of your feet. Jockey Rosie Napravnik was unseated from her mount, be nice or leave, prior to the seventh race at Churchill Downs yesterday. She was taken off the rest of her mounts for the rest of the day. She had four more to ride, and she is now complaining of leg and back soreness, but she has nothing broken. Nothing is broken. She's going to be fine. She just needs, it's like what when you fall off your horse and your doctor goes, ibuprofen. And you're like, give me something stronger, doc. They're like, ibuprofen. That's probably what she got.
Yeah.
So she's actually going to be okay. I was trying to make a mountain out of a molehill for Glenn, but she's fine.
No, she's fine.
She's going to be fine.
No big deal. I like how they use the word body sore, like, because they use that for horses a lot. Horses' body sore. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You just got hit by a 30-mile-an-hour truck, honey. You're more than body sore.
I know. It's people who say body sore obviously haven't fallen off a horse.
No. It's a lot more than that. Hey,
I think it's body crippled.
Yeah, I have that the day after every 100 pace. I think it's time for this.
I forgot about that. Go ahead.
My daily Winnie today goes to good friend and favorite traveling buddy, Mindy Sue Hoover. Happy birthday and many, many more. Mindy Sue and her husband Bob have been friends of ours for many, many years and have taken a number of family vacations together. And family vacations for us consist of four humans and between 6 and 15 dogs. And they're our great traveling buddies. And happy birthday.
Mike, Ken, did you, wait, you got to play this in. Hold on.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
There we go. And, right. Okay, now I love hitting the buttons. Let me do it.
Go. There's power in the button, Jennifer. Wield it carefully. My daily Winnie goes out to my family's in town, actually, and I've had my brother and I call him my brother, too, but he's been basically a friend of mine since, like, third grade, guy friend, and he and my brother are best friends. So he, my friend Dave, and then my brother Josh have been in town visiting me. They've been here since last Thursday. They got here Thursday night, and it has just been so much fun. I've had an awesome time hanging out with my family. And wait, that hasn't been said very often. That one sentence. If you put quotations around that, that would be a word that I've never said. I've had a really good time with my family this weekend.
I was going to say, that's not usually how it works, Jamie.
No, it's been healthy. It's been fun. We've had activities. I've cooked dinner. It's been a blast. And so Dave actually went on a horseback ride with me on Saturday. He rode the Duke while I rode Jet, and we went on a trail ride. And so thank you, Betty Faith, our listener. Duke is doing awesome. And, of course, he had to take multiple selfies of himself and post them on Facebook. And actually posted on Facebook while we were riding. Like, that takes skill. That takes skill.
How do people do that?
I don't know. But I have learned a lot about Twitter and Facebooking and all these things that I didn't know because my brother and him are just, like, Facebook crazy, but they're on vacation, so they're trying to keep everybody up to date on what's going on. And Lucas went to his first football game yesterday. First football game ever yesterday. The Cardinals here, the Phoenix Cardinals, played the Atlanta Falcons. So to be honest with you, that's probably the reason my brother came to visit, because he's a huge Atlanta Falcons fan. It did not go so well for the Falcons. They did lose, which meant the home team, the Cardinals, were very excited and were very loud. And most of all, they were all very drunk. So half of the game was spent with me walking around just trying to get Lucas to chill out. It was not a great experience. It was not as fun as baseball. I realized.
Pretty baseball fan already.
Baseball is just way more family friendly. I don't. I'm sorry, and I know that I might get emails from this. I get it from my family. I freaking hate football. It is official. Like, I've had to go to some college games with Chad to go see, like, the Sooners play, and I just am miserable every time I go. And Chad's done the flyover at a couple games, so then I have to go to the game, and which is awesome that he's doing the flyover. Oh, my God, I hate football. And then so I was like, well, I like NFL. NFL's different. It's better. I hate football. I'm going to come out and say it now.
Hey, do you hate all football, or do you hate going to football games?
I really could, to me at home, when Chad watches football, it's the perfect opportunity for me to take a nap. So I can't say that.
Yeah.
It's
good time
to
go clean the pack. Yeah.
Exactly. However, I hate going to football games. I mean, hate it. It was awful. And then you get there, and I've got my diaper bag, and I've got, like, the arsenal of stuff for the baby that I could need, including baby earplugs, obviously. But we had earplugs, we had the diapers, we had outfits to change into, we had blankets, we had burp cloths, we had everything possible.
Man.
And then we get all the way to the go into the stadium, Jennifer. Are you freaking kidding me? You're not allowed to have any bag that's not see-through. No, get out of here. What? So I had to turn around and walk back to the place where they sell see-through bags. It's an NFL rule now because probably some thugs took in some guns to games. So now everybody pays for it, just like the airport when you got to take your dang shoes off because one guy went and lit a shoe on fire. So now I had to go and pay almost $20 to get a bag to put my diapers and stuff in so I could go in the stadium. And then Chad had to run 9 miles back to the car to put the diaper bag back in the car. And here I am holding the baby in the shade waiting outside
wow.
the stupid stadium for him to get back because he has the tickets. Oh, my God. Never again. I told Chad, I'm like, officially, you could give me a ticket to the Super Bowl on the 50-yard line. And I'd be like, no, thanks. I'm done. I'm officially done.
The clear bag thing put you over the edge.
Yeah, it was just all I needed. It was all I needed. And there's no horses in Major League Football.
No.
It's not called Major League Football. It's called NFL. There's no horses there. Sucked.
No.
Horrible.
No.
Ridiculous.
Well, hey, I need to give a holler to Elisa Wallace. So talk
okay.
amongst yourself, cover some more fantastic news stories, and the two of us will be right back.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Hey, for those listeners that I just mentioned, Gary Stevens, I also learned something about him this weekend when I saw an article come out about him on the Daily Mail. Did you know Gary Stevens, at 50 years old, is, of course, back in the tack. He's out of retirement. He played George, none of this is the news. He played George Wolfe in Seabiscuit, and I adore him. I love him. I love his steely gray eyes. I think he's just awesome. He's a grandfather. He is a freaking grandfather. And he is 50 years old, and he is running in the Breeders' Cup out of retirement. That guy's awesome. That guy is cool. Now, the other news story I have for you guys while she gets Elisa on the phone is I did this story not too long ago. There's a police horse. His name is Bud, and the policeman was on the police horse, and this is over in Europe, and in Britain, actually. They had a soccer game. We call it soccer. They call it football. There was a football game. See, this is why I never go to football games. And I guess somebody won that wasn't supposed to win, and it was a blowout, the first win in Newcastle in 13 years. And so the Newcastle fans were a little rowdy after the game because probably they were drunk. So there's all sorts of craziness going on here, and this idiot, his name is Barry Rogerson, 45 years old, goes up. And I guess the police horses were trying to push back the crowd. Well, he is caught on videotape walking back and forth, clapping his hands, because this all is hysterical to him that the police horses are getting overrun. Well, Bud is a Park Clydesdale, it looks like, in a Cleveland Bay. Excuse me, a Shire Cross, actually. He looks like just a big old draft horse. But Bud was trying to push him back. Barry Rogerson punched him in the face. So Barry Rogerson got arrested. Apparently another police horse mounted cop jumped off of his horse, landed, bam, on Barry Rogerson, wrestled him to the ground, and arrested him. So, comeuppance, baby. You must pay. The police horse Bud, who was punched in the face, got the day off the next day. He's totally fine. But Barry Rogerson just got sentenced to 12 months in jail. Arrested and sentenced for a freaking year for punching a police horse in the face. And he deserves it, and he deserves every minute of it. So let's see. Okay. Jennifer, what do you think about that?
Elisa's here, but I have one question. You get a year for punching a police horse in the face. Why is it that we rarely hear about a human being who manages to starve half a dozen or so horses to death that get nothing?
I know. Isn't that disgusting?
Yeah, just wanted to put that question out there. Okay. Moving on, good stories about horses. Elisa Wallace, who is famous worldwide for her finish with Fledge the Mustang at the Mustang Makeover, is here with us. Welcome to the show, Elisa.
Good morning.
Now, yesterday afternoon I was checking into Facebook, and you put a post on the Modern Mustanger Facebook page about doing some horse shopping. And I'm going to read the post to our audience here so they know where we're getting started from.
Uh-huh.
Oh, then now the whole world's going to be writing to you with their Mustangs, aren't they? Ask you ladies, referring to the Modern Mustangers, I'm looking to find more thoroughbred influence and from the cavalry horses. Do you guys know where I can start looking? And you've been searching around. So are you horse shopping again, true or false?
I'm always horse shopping. Any horse person is always horse shopping.
True.
Totally. Even though we shouldn't probably be, although, you know. But I always have my eye out there. And you know, I just got back from doing the Mustang Million competition in September out there in Texas, and there are Mustangs, they come in all different shapes and sizes. If you do the research, there's actually thoroughbred stallions that are out there, and a lot of the cavalry remount horses got loose and were set out there, and those are eventing horses. So it makes complete sense to me, and I don't know. Mustangs are fun, and they keep things interesting, and it's a little bit different, so I like to be different, I guess.
So when you got Fledge and Nim and Rune, did I pronounce the names correctly, Nim and Rune?
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm.
When you got those guys, you got them in order to compete in the Mustang competitions. You don't get to choose those horses, do you? You just have to pick a name out of a hat, so to speak?
Well, Fledge was completely random, picked by a computer. Nim and Rune, I picked out. And Rune, I picked out. He's three coming four, but he's going to do the Young Eventing Horse Series next year, I'm hoping, which will be interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that's, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's got great confirmation, and he's super broke, so.
Now, about that, though, because I was just actually reading the Young Event Horse results this past, I guess it was two weekends ago, and I was so excited because the Thoroughbred won, and he came in first behind, ahead of several different warm blood varieties. How do you think that, like a Mustang is going to do standing up against all of those warm bloods and Thoroughbreds with the judges? Like, do you think they'll be, like, racist, like, breedist, you know?
Or, you know, I don't know. I figure it's worth a try. I mean, first of all, my thought process is why not? But, I mean, yeah, I don't know the exact parentage of my horse. I'm going to do the genetic research on Rue. But there's definitely a reservoir of horses that are sitting there that are, if you look hard enough, it's just like with the off-the-track thoroughbreds. There's nice ones out there, and there's not-so-nice ones out there. And so you know, everybody always is like, well, what's Sludge doing? What are you going to do with them? And I was like, well, why the heck not? I'll just put Rue in the young event horse and see what happens. Can't hurt anything.
Now, explain to everybody what the young event horse is for those who don't know.
It's an eventing, the U.S. eventing put together. It's kind of like a breeding aspect for the North America to have young event horses coming through the system, per se, that you it can give our breeders what the judges are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's pretty much. And so it's really fun to see these young horses coming up, and it's just another aspect for the young horses to go through and get some competitions under their belt without doing the big, huge stuff.
Is it an actual competition? It's a three-phase event that is geared at a particular level, but it's limited in that who can compete in it?
Yeah, it's like,
a novice level or something?
Right. It's held at a horse trial generally, and they, you know, you have to do your dressage, cross country, and stadium, but they judge the horses on how good a gallop it has, or and then they also take into account the conformation has a score, and so they put all of those things into also your dressage, cross country, and stadium scores, and then they add those all up together, and that's how they're kind of composed. So it's kind of looking at the horse not just at what you get in the ring, but also the total horse of what an event horse is, you know, how they're built and how their gallop is and their demeanor and certain things like that. So.
Cool. So.
Yeah.
There apparently are different herds in different parts of the country. And again, so for someone who doesn't follow the Mustang culture, because they're really developing culture nowadays, very closely at all, might not realize that there are many, many, many different herds of wild Mustangs around the country, separate from each other. I know growing up, we always thought of Mustangs as there's one big herd in the middle of the country, and that's that. But they're not. And they have very, very different physical characteristics. When I was reading around in the Modern Mustanger Facebook page, which is a group page, anybody can join, just go to Modern Mustanger on Facebook. So you're looking particularly for the lighter, more thoroughbred-looking horse, obviously, if you're going to do eventing, that's going to be a plus. What parts of the country and which herds have caught your eye thus far?
People have been super helpful. The Mustang community, they're just really incredible. And they've kind of directed me towards the California horses that they can have some taller, you know, oftentimes people think of Mustangs similar to my little Sledge. Nothing against Sledge, but he can kind of fit the mold of, he's 14 hands, a little bit shorter neck, a little bit bigger head, versus my 3-year-old Rue, who is still growing, but he looks like a thoroughbred warm blood. He's 15 hands, long-legged, has long neck. If he didn't have the BLM brand, I don't think people would know he's a Mustang. So the places I'm looking are, what I've been told is Coyote Lakes, which is in Nevada, has a lot of thoroughbred kind of cavalry horses. They're known for that. And then there are a couple other that, but that one is pretty prominent in my head of being like legit cavalry horses that, I swear, you look at these horses and you're like, oh crap, that's a Mustang. No, it's not. That one got loose. That one got out of an eventing barn or a dressage barn. You watch the way they move, and you're like, no. And then you see some of them. Like, when I was at the Million, there were some of these that looked like foundation quarter horse reining horses. I'm like, you painted that brand on it. I don't care what you say.
Oh, I can
They're
see it now. There's
like
a black market for brands on these horses.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, again, I always am looking for, I like finding the rescue horses and the neglected starved horses and the off-the-track horses, and wild horses are fun. So, and it's a part of helping, you know, there's the whole debate with the wild horses and what the BLM is doing with them and how to manage them. And so I'm trying to do my part in helping what I can do, and the horses that are sitting in the holding facility doing nothing and need a place to go and someone, you know, they like to work and they enjoy their jobs and they like to, I mean, Rue is ridiculously, he loves food and follows me everywhere like a big dog and he loves to work and so is Fledge. And so they're just really cool horses. So I figured why not see what I can find. And my goal is to try to put a little string of eventing horses together of Mustangs and see what we can do.
You're going to have to rename your farm.
Right.
Yeah. So I noticed also in your post that you're trying to find a, quote, older horse, something in that 3- and 4-year-old range. Now, again, those of us who don't have any experience at all training a Mustang or any other feral animal before, I, of course, would go, oh, well, heavens, why would you want to do that? He's going to be harder to train. So taking a horse in that is wild, feral, untouched by human hands, that is 3 or 4 years old, doesn't concern you as being something that's going to be harder to train?
No, generally, like, I mean, I've had both Rue and Fledge were 3. Mim was 5, and he was a little bit different of a horse, but I was still able to kind of get him to come along pretty quickly. Generally speaking, the 3- to 4-year-olds are, some people will say, easier than, say, the 5- and 6-year-olds that you can get off. Sometimes there's 8-year-olds you can get off of there. And if they've been, like, band stallions, they can be pretty tough to kind of bring around. But I'm pretty – I like the challenge of horses and to try to communicate. And it's a learning process, and I'm just trying to become a better horseman. And they're very forgiving and – help me with my mistakes. So it's always fun to every horse that you get in, you always learn something new in a different aspect. So it's kind of feeding the education, I guess.
Now, Alisa, I got to say, as an eventer and trying to teach an off the track thoroughbred to, you know, come around to the sport, it's tough. It is tough. Now, you're not only dealing with, like, you know, you're dealing with nature, and you're really changing the way that this horse is kind of for generations had to think, which is the fight or flight and trying to get out of there. And you are putting them into this amazing sport. And I'm so proud of you for showcasing this breed. What I want to know is, when are you going to start touring and doing clinics? Because out here out west, lots of people have Mustangs, and it's very easy to get a Mustang. And, you know, if you would come out and help me, I would do. I find it very intimidating, the idea of it.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm trying to set up, actually, a clinic schedule of what to do, and I'm here. I just need to have places to go, I guess.
Now, you live in Atlanta, right?
Yes, I live in Jasper, which is about an hour north of Atlanta.
I love Jasper, Georgia. I'm from Atlanta, too, so that's why I know. I saw your area code.
Oh.
That's how I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
It's beautiful up there, and that's really – I think that's the biggest problem or hindrance that I've had as far as getting a Mustang, because they have adoptions. I'm in Phoenix right now, and they have adoptions out here kind of seems like all the time. And I just don't know if I would – know how to communicate with a
honestly they are sometimes easier than your domestic horse, because a domestic horse, if you can take an off the track thoroughbred that has absolutely no manners and is a pig and you know how they can get uptight and all nervous and run you over and all that stuff, oftentimes you can handle a wild Mustang. They're like a walk in the park, because they're like, hey, human, you can stay over there, and I'll stay in my bubble. And then once you get them to trust you, they're very respectful. Some are.
Huh.
But I think once you get out of – and you have to have a respect for the horse just in general and for the fact that it is a wild horse. They can check you every now and then, and you go, yep, that's because you're wild. But they – it's just all in the – if you can go as slow as you want. There's, you know, if the competition stuff can be a little pressure intensive and you kind of feel like you're on a timeline, but really it is all about the horse and the horse's timeline and what they are willing to kind of give you. And if you are on your own timeline and the horse's timeline, you can do anything you want. So, I mean, it can be – Where if the horse just kind of looks at you the first day and you walk away and, hey, I made progress. And the next day he may take a step towards you. Hey, we're moving to the right. And the next day he may sniff you. Okay. And then he may let you touch you. And then before you know it, you're getting on the dang thing, and it's like day three.
So it's not like you were, which is, that's awesome. It's not like you were immediately putting them in a round pen, running their butt off and trying to connect like that. It's more about getting them to kind of connect with you on just a standing around level at first.
Yeah. I mean, I have most of my videos on YouTube under Wallace Eventing. And again, you know, I watch myself and I'm like, dang it, Elisa, the horse is back away. You're pushing too hard. You know, I'm yelling at myself.
Right.
But, Rune, for the first day, he's a very confident horse, and I was able to sit on him, which shocked me. I was like, oh, wow, I couldn't believe I can do it. It's just a feel, and, you know, if you push too far, you go, okay, we have to back up now. But generally, you can feel, you know, it's the same. It can be very similar to a hot, off-the-track thoroughbred sometimes, and I've had some people go, you know, you can ride your Mustang out on the third day, and, I mean, they can feel completely, you know, stuff that would freak a thoroughbred out sometimes. And thoroughbreds can be the same way. You can have one that does not care about anything, and then you have one that cares about a leaf on the ground. Mustangs can be the same way. But generally speaking, they are just a very fun, and I'm just, like I said, trying to help people get awareness of these horses, that there are tons of them out there that we're paying for. And, you know, there's the whole debate, but I can only do what I can do. And so what I can do is spread the word on how good these horses are and how,
exactly.
I mean, I love my Sledge to death. He is incredible and has helped my career so much. And I was able to find Rue, who I think is going to be a really nice horse. And it's just helped me be inspired and stay, you know, kind of intrigued. And I don't know. It's fun. That's the whole point of horses, I guess.
See, and there's the answer to my question is that you have YouTube videos on Facebook, on YouTube, and we can at least watch some of the stuff you've done, because it is definitely my bucket list to have a Mustang and train it, and you make it sound like it's no big deal, so you know what? Well, I'll just go get one right now. That's a good horse shop.
Sure.
Where can everybody find you, and if they have questions or they want to know more?
I have my website, wallaceeventing.com, and then and my email is up there, and then also on Facebook. You can find me. We're on Facebook as well, and on YouTube also under Wallace Eventing. But, I mean, yeah, that's how I got kind of thrown into this. Doing a wild horse was on my bucket list, and my friend pushed me hard enough that I finally just said, fine, I'll do it. And now I'm addicted.
You've done very well with it. You've done very well with it. And so everybody go check those out. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it, and definitely keep us posted. If you find some amazing eventing thoroughbreds, let me know where they came from. I'm going to get more, too.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right, girl.
You guys
talk
have
to
a
you
good
soon.
Day.
You
Alrighty.
Too.
Bye-bye.
She's fascinating. She's one of those
so
girls that's
admire.
Way cooler than us. Yeah, she's way cooler than us.
Yeah, well, and even like you, that's on my bucket list. I would love to try it. Personally, I am so afraid of complete and utter public failure, I wouldn't even go down that road. You've got more guts than I do, honey, to try and take on a Mustang. No.
Well, I don't think it would have to be public if I fail. It'll just be in my backyard.
Everybody would know somehow for me. But, you know, when you get your Mustang, we will be willing to tell the whole universe of horses how it goes on a daily basis for you.
I think I'll wait till I'm retired from the show.
Hey, I want to tell everybody that our show today is brought to us, as it is every single Monday, by Omega Alpha Equine.
Yeah.
And I hear that you and Jet and the rest of the horse family out there have gotten to know Omega Alpha Equine pretty well.
Well, you know, I'm packing for Galway, and just this morning, Jennifer, I wake up, and I'm like, My dream ended too quickly because I was actually, because I'm going to Galway International Horse Trial this weekend, I actually dreamed that I was in 10th after dressage, but then I went clean show jumping, and I was in first place after show jumping. Oh, my God. And then I was, like, going to go back and check and see how many rails in hand I had, and then I woke up. So I didn't need to hear that, but I'll tell you what is going to come with me to Galway, and that is Omega Alpha. You know, just because, just this week I've started Jet on the airwaves. I started him on the airwaves yesterday so I can make sure that his lungs are all nice and clear to go run cross country. I live in a very dusty place, so that is something that we have to do. The other, something in my back pocket, you know, in my little back pocket. I pull out the equine chill. And he just needs it for dressage. He just gets so tense. Why not help him out a little bit?
Didn't you try to go through the last event without your equine chill with rather disastrous results?
Jennifer, I wasn't going to bring that up. But now that you've mentioned it, yes, I did not use the equine chill in dressage last time at Copper Meadows, and that was in the dressage test where he decided to try to buck me off in our canter extension. So it was not a smooth round, and I've learned my lesson, Jennifer. I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to do that again, and he will have equine chill on board. Give it to him an hour ahead of time. I had it for show jumping and dressage, and he never bucked once. So I just have one of those special horses who needs it. And, you know, even if your horse doesn't behave badly, it just takes the edge off of them as they get nervous.
Yeah.
So, you know, he keeps Biotic 8 on board now once he colicked. We started him on Biotic 8. He gets the airwaves ahead of time. And remember, none of this is testable because it's all natural and all herbal. So if you want to find out anything, you know, email them over at Omega Alpha Equine. Ask them questions.
Nice.
Tell them what you have going on. And Jeff Grimes is their equine specialist in USA. And just email those guys and ask them. You say, this is the problem I have. What do you have that can fix it? It's all herbal. It's all natural. It's nothing. I'm not pumping a bunch of chemicals in my horse. So just herbal stuff that makes him go a little bit better. And it does work. So check him out at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Now, I wonder if Omega Alpha Equine has a formula specifically called Clean Stadium Round. Because in my entire life, I did exactly one clean stadium round.
Really? Why? Is it you or is it the horse?
Oh, it's absolutely me. Absolutely. I just sucked at it. I didn't realize many, many years I evented. I started eventing, you know, 12-ish and did that for many years. I did not realize that my depth perception was about 25% of what a human should have. And I could never find a good spot. You know, I was getting in deep, and I was taking off long. And I just thought, well, I just need to practice more, and I never seemed to get any better. Well, I didn't realize it was because I couldn't judge my distance from the fence properly. Now, admittedly, by the time I got it fixed, I pretty much had those habits ingrained pretty badly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
unless I had a set rail, I wasn't finding a spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then yeah, and yeah, it was all me. The horses were just fine. I would sell one, and it would go on and have many, many clean rounds with its new owner. Totally me.
Okay, it's you. Yeah, I think with my last, my horse that I had for 18 years, and the first horse I ever evented, his name was Marche, who's awesome, chestnut thoroughbred. We, every single horse show, horse trial, would take down the last jump. The last jump in stadium I would always knock down. And I mean, obviously that's me because I'd probably chase him at it, you know. All of a sudden it's like, go! I would do that, I have no idea. Yeah, if you just sit back and wait, and I've learned to do that with Jet, but I've also learned a very special trick about Jet is if I'm warming up, if in warm-up I hit a fence very, very hard, I'll go jump it one more time and then take him in. Because when Jet hits a fence, he spends the rest of the time. This won't work when I'm competing him in Rolex because the time won't work because he takes a long time to jump because he jumps 6 feet over the fence if he hits it. So just like at Copper Meadows, you know, we were in 11th or 12th, and then we went clean on show jumping, and we were one of the only clean rounds and moved. Actually, we were the only one, and then we moved all the way up to sixth place. So that's why eventing is a three-day sport. Things can happen, Jennifer. Just because you knock down a rail does not mean that you're out of it because you've got dressage and show jumping to look at, too. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, and if I had less than three rails, that was a highly successful stadium round for me.
Oh, no, you had that many?
Yeah, I always made time. Cross-country was pretty cool. Didn't have a lot of issues there except getting lost. Yeah, and I just sucked at it. So, you know, more power to you. Now it's very common, apparently, because I hung up my competition boots many, many years ago. But it's pretty darn common nowadays to do the three phases out of order. Dressage is pretty much first all the time. But cross-country and stadium jumping, you never know which one's going to come first anymore. Is that kind of how it goes nowadays?
Yes, that is how it goes. And what's funny is I'm envisioning you, you know, in your event, when you event or compete in any type of horse show, there's always kind of the same people at every show, at least a core group. And if you were competing at every one and say you were first after dressage and then you were first after cross country and you're sitting in first and everybody else is sitting outside of the show jumping round while you're going in, you're the kind of person everybody would go, ah, yeah, she's not going to hold first. Just lost the show jumping round. This
I was always that girl. Yeah, I would show up at the show grounds with my rusty old horse trailer, and my 7.5-year-old stepsister was grooming for me. And, that was me.
They're like, just wait. You're so in first. Yeah, because girls are evil. Well, I know that you showed a lot. But I know you're back in action because you did 100 pace not too long, and you have a list because you're, you know, related to Glenn now. So you have, of course, had to come up with a list. And this is the list of Jen's top five favorite leaving the showgrounds at the end of a long day faux pas.
Yes. Explain. And I have committed all of these sins and the majority of them on more than one occasion because for many, many years, I was usually the first one there in the morning to get to the horse show and the last one to leave for whatever reason. Sometimes because I had a zillion and one students and sometimes because I had to get there 3 hours early in case I got lost on the way. So I have done all these things at the end of the day. When you pull out of the show grounds, you have left the very last cold beverage in your possession on top of the truck or on the horse trailer fender. And as you pull out of the hay field onto the road, there it goes onto the macadam, and you have nothing to drink for the next 45 minutes because that's how long it takes to get to the nearest gas station. Have you done that one?
I was thinking that I've done this, and it was with my cell phone. So I put the cell phone on top of the truck or on the trailer fender or your sandwich or whatever. It could be anything that you would leave on your truck. And you know what's really bad is that this is really bad with the baby. Not that I leave the baby on top of the car.
Yeah, don't even
but
say that.
You have the baby and the car seat in one hand, and then you have whatever you have in your left in your other hand, and that could be a cell phone or a sandwich or whatever, and you set that on top of the car. You get the baby all adjusted in the car, you close the door, and get in and drive off. I've done that more times than I care to say right now.
And there went your peanut butter and jelly.
Exactly. There goes whatever you had. So what else have you done?
Well, this one I have done, I'm pretty sure only on one occasion, but I cannot tell you how many times I have seen other people do it. They pull out, and they forgot to put the ramp up on the horse trailer.
Oh, my gosh. That's really stupid. Did you say you've done that?
I did that once, yes.
Oh,
only once.
No.
I only got about 3 feet, thank you very much. But
that's bad. That's not the smartest thing. I'm not a ramp person, so I can't say I've ever done that.
Yeah. Now, when you go to a horse show, you are out in the desert Midwest, where an 8-hour trip to a horse show is nothing. Is it the they majority step up slant loads nowadays, or do you still see a lot of ramps?
You see about, it's a, 50-50, I guess, but I just prefer the step ups.
Yeah. We always
to me the ramp is one more thing to break.
Now here's a good one, because I have had many horse trailer adventures in my day. Got to a horse show one time, and of course I was the second person there because we had to leave early in case I got lost. By the time we got there, the horse I had kicked so much he actually broke the hinges on the bottom of the ramp. So the only thing holding the ramp on the trailer were the two latches at the top.
See, one more thing to break. No, that's awful.
I don't remember how we got it fixed to go home, but we did something to it. Luckily, my dad was along with that one. I think it might have involved duct tape. So my next one is, this is something I have done recently because Beaker is the first horse I've ever owned that self-loads. You put the lead rope over his neck and he goes on. And I forget to tie him up sometimes. Like, oops.
It depends on the trailer, but I can't say that I tie up many horses in the trailer. The horses that I worry about getting their head down or caught or something, obviously I tie them up. But, like Jet, when we're on these big 6-7 hour rides to Galway or whatever, I've got a big muck tub with water in it. I've got hay, and I kind of let him loose in there and he stands better. The thing that I have, my worst nightmare, and this is the thing that I worry about so much, is that, he doesn't tie very well. He'll tie in the trailer, obviously, if he's in the little slant. But my worst nightmare is that they're tied up as you open the back door and cleft to back them out and they're tied up. Because that is the rest of, I have, vision nightmares about that, because then they start pulling back, and then they panic, and they pull back, and then they fling themselves out of the back of the trailer or hit their head on the roof or something like that. Have you had that happen?
More times than I care to recall, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm kind of anal about untying them first, and Chad has gone to open. I'm like, don't let it hurt! I'm not untied yet. He's like, it's fine. I'm like, don't let it hurt! I won't open the door until they're untied.
Yeah. And that's always fun because for many years, I was always dragging young students along to horse shows. And we had one of those old-fashioned trailers. It was a four-horse, but it was a nose to tail. So the first two horses walked in, and you closed their butt bars, and the next two horses walked in right behind them, which is a little dicey.
Gosh.
That's not – for any horse that hauls or lows badly, that's not the configuration you want, just an FYI. But that's what we had, and that's what we used, and the horses got over it. But you'd open the tailgate, and it was always this screening match back and forth because somebody would have to hold the horse's head, and it was usually some freaked-out 13-year-old. Do you have the horse on tight? Oh, my God, he's moving his head. I can't. Do you have the chest bar down? And it was just a comedy of errors. It was horrible. I don't miss it. Thank you.
Sell that on Craigslist. Sell that trailer.
Yeah.
Now, what was your next one? With two left.
My next one. You pull away, and you get around the corner, you head down the dirt road, sucking up dust, and you look behind you, and in the rearview mirror, 300 yards behind, are a stack of water buckets and or your mounting block that you left behind. Yeah. Done that a couple of times.
I've left the water buckets in the stalls more times than I care to say. However, with the mounting block, I actually, you leave the mounting block out and then you go to back out and you hit it. So I've run over several mounting blocks.
Yeah, you went to the same school of backing up as Glenn.
Yeah. Hit it.
Wow.
Just run over it. Well, you can't see them because they're so small. Yeah, I've hit it. I hit it with my gator the other day, just backed up. That's why you get those really hardcore plastic ones.
Yeah, you have to get the Burlingham Sports Super Duty. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a subset of this one is leaving and then looking in the rearview mirror down the dusty road, and you see some tiny person way off in the distance running and screaming and waving their third-place ribbon at you because you left someone behind.
Aww. You leave a child behind, Jennifer, and these people trusted you with their children.
Well, it was a caveat. There were two different vehicles with humans in them. And vehicle A thought vehicle B had that human. and Bugle Me, not Bugle, and any human being, and both were wrong.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Yeah, we had to get that person ice cream on the way out.
No kidding.
And my favorite. Yeah, no kidding. And you know something? If you have a student who is not carrying their own weight or, you know, just not staying with the program, being obnoxious, crying because they didn't get first place, this is something you can use. I mean, I'm sorry it was an accident, but it will humble them if you leave them behind. It really straightens out attitudes.
I would imagine. And the final one before we get to the song?
The final one before we get to the song, and I still do this one at least one out of three times that I go somewhere, I leave the freaking people door hanging open.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. And then if you drive too far and if it's bumpy, then things start to fly out of the door. So don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. I've lost
how
a lot of hay that way.
You've lost it. How far? What is your longest distance traveled with the people door open?
You know, I don't know, because I've been driving since I was 16 is when my parents were like, here, take the truck and trailer yourself. I'm tired of going to horse shows. So I can't figure out a way now, but I've developed hopefully some good habits now where I walk up to every door and I pull on them before I leave. Just every single one I walk around the truck and trailer. And then, of course, it ends with me making sure that the ball is actually inside the horse trailer and it's closed. So I have, like, these little good habits that I've developed because I'm so anal about taking horses places. So fortunately not, but obviously you've driven pretty far.
I know for a fact that my maximum is 2.1 miles. Because that's how long that the private road was that I got to the end of, and the horse trailer behind me pulled up and started honking their horn very energetically to let me know that for that entire 2.1 miles, my people door was flapping back and forth. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
And with that, I would like to thank FleeceWorks for helping to support this podcast, and let's hear a little message from them. And it's going to be followed closely by a song from Jared Rogerson, called Sweetwater. I haven't heard this one before, so I'm looking forward to it. FleeceWorks is proud to announce its latest offering for Western enthusiasts, the Square Wool Underpad. Developed with input from extreme cowboy racing champion Robin Bond, the FleeceWorks 100% Merino Wool Underpad is designed so a Navajo blanket can be used over top, allowing for the custom look you want for competition, while providing your horse the thermal balancing advantages of FleeceWorks 100% Merino wool. FleeceWorks Western pads even include removable viscoelastic inserts. Of course, FleeceWorks continues to be your go-to brand for the finest in wool accessories, from grooming mitts that bring out your horse's natural shine to halter and cribbing collar covers that look as beautiful as they fit. Ask for FleeceWorks products at your local tack and feed stores, or you can visit them online at fleeceworks.com.
Money to make a lot of money, got a Corvette. Billy bought a new pickup truck. Some think they robbed the bank. Now others say they were dealing drugs. They didn't go for a higher education. Never needed a real vocation. They don't worry about anything. They still get down on their knees in that sweet water flowing down through the rocks. It's kind of like looking for the prize in a Cracker Jack box. And they pray to God and pan for gold. Now the real story has been told. Living that California
Rogerson. That's a great song, Living That California Dream in Wyoming. I love it. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. What are you laughing about?
I was laughing about the fact that we were IMing back and forth 3.5 seconds before the song was over, because as soon as the song goes on, we're all like running 15 directions trying to get something else done. We are addicted to multitasking, Jamie, and it's a bad thing. I think we need to start some kind of an anti-multitasking movement. I really do.
Well, what you didn't know was during that song that I actually listened to, because I had it blasting, I had to run from my office to my room because my husband's already gone to work. My brother is sleeping out there on the couch because I'm in the room that he was sleeping in, and the baby was crying. So I ran out, grabbed the baby, brought him back in here, got him set up. Oh, wait, I have to pee. And then I ran in, I went pee, and then I came back in here, and I sat down, and I tagged it to you, and then here we are.
And here we are, I will have you know, with the Horse Nation Wacky World, brought to you by High Visibility. High Visibility North America are the distributors for the United Kingdom's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines. Already the preferred choice in the UK for thousands of equestrians, numerous mounted police forces, and even the Queen's Household Cavalry. The range is now exclusively available in the United States and Canada from High Visibility North America. The entire range is not only functional in that it will keep you safe, whether in the woods during hunting season, while riding on the road or out on the trail, but it is also fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers to dressage and Western folks love it. I have one myself. The range has everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests suitable for year-round wear, and has already appeared on riders like Dan James, woohoo, Kim Gentry, woohoo again. Visit the High Visibility folks at highvisibility.us.com, or you can follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/equisafety. And when you do that, make sure you're getting the United States Equisafety Facebook page. They have the same name, but one is for the UK, one is for the US, and the UK one for all of our US listeners won't help you much.
And you probably have to pay for a lot more shipping. So find the American.
Shipping is going to be a killer. Let's welcome Wiley to the show.
Exactly. Hey, Leslie, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Fantastic. How's life over there at horsenation.com?
Pretty wacky as usual.
Now, I don't have a list of what we're going to talk about today because Glenn's not here and we don't have that put in. However, I just wanted to touch base with you about the horse bands. And we'll get to whatever you were going to actually talk about. You said that these are horse bands that you've probably never heard of. Now, have people actually not heard of Band of Horses? There's a band called Band of Horses.
You know Band of Horses, right? They're amazing.
Yes.
They're one of my favorites.
I do know Band of Horses only because they're called Band of Horses. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, I like Band of Horses. However, I have not heard of any other one of these, except for Neil Young and Crazy Horse.
Right. Yeah, me neither. Our weekend editor, Carla Lake, actually put this post together, and we're all grateful to Carla for expanding our musical horizons. Although she posted several music videos or performances from the different bands that she rounded up, and I'm not sure that I'm going to be a fan of most of these. I think I'll stick with my Band of Horses.
I can't wait to go through and listen to these because, yes, I've gone on to CD Baby, which is a website where you can buy music like this. Or that's where I found Jared Rogerson, was cdbaby.com, and you just type in horse. And there's some weird stuff that pops up on these indie, unsigned bands if you put in horses. Mm-hmm. So just be careful. There's a lot of stuff. So hopefully some of these are really strange. But they at least have music videos. That's fancy.
Yeah.
The Dead Horse Band, Horse Feathers on Horse. That sounds very Euro. Iron Horse, Apes and Horses. Man, I can't wait for that one.
Have any of these bands sold more than five CDs? Probably not.
Questionable.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So what else? The one I really liked, and I looked at it on my phone because you guys post on Facebook all the time, is the tattoos, the horse
tattoo. Oh, my goodness.
Tattoo. Now, you found tattoos, and then you ask listeners or readers to post their own horse tattoos. Did anybody do that?
Yeah, that was kind of on a whim. Shara, one of our writers, compiled a post of this photos of horse tattoos that she had found online, and we put that on Facebook, and I think I wrote after it, readers, if you have a horse tattoo, post it to our Facebook page. Not really thinking we'd get much of a response, because, getting a tattoo is, kind of a hardcore thing, right?
Yeah.
But apparently, our readers are hardcore, and almost 30 readers posted photos of their horse tattoos, which I ended up compiling and then making a post of its own out of. I was not expecting that big of a response. Now, do either of you guys have horse tattoos or tattoos at all in general?
I may have some ink, yes, but it's not a horse. And simply
what is
because
it?
It's none of your business.
Is it a butterfly, a tramp stamp?
No, it is not a tramp stamp. It is not a tramp stamp. I'm not embarrassed about it, actually. I swam with dolphins when I was a teenager, and wild dolphins, I saw them coming, and I, lit out into the ocean, and I swam out there in my clothes, and I was, drowning victim, but there was dolphins everywhere around me, and it was really a beautiful experience, and so I actually have a tattoo of a dolphin that nobody can see unless show it to you. Yeah. But I'm amazed. There's some I guess if I'd have known that you could find a horse that looked like these, there's some beautiful horse tattoos.
There are, really. Some ones that actually are works of art, I would say. Every tattoo, just like yours, has a story. And several of our readers, shared what those stories were. Some of them had tattoos in tribute to horses that they own or horses that they have lost, various, everything's meaningful, right? Everything has a story behind it. Some of them, they drew their own pictures that they had, had them made into tattoos, and it was just a neat story, and I was like, wow, it really just kind of blew my mind. I was like, wow, our readers really do love horses,
kind of horse nation. Well, what I want to know, too, because the other tattoo that I would love to have, and now I'd have to actually add several more, was my horse that I got when I was 10 years old, and I had him till I was 28. So a long time, that's like, you know, family at that point, was off the track thoroughbred named Marche. Second time we've talked about him in the show. Well, his tattoo number was L36775, and I remember that. And I have wanted to get that tattoo on me somewhere forever because that's an homage to my horse. However, I cannot figure out how to make L36775 not look like a prison number.
Right.
How do you do that? You can't just tattoo that on your wrist. You look like you've been in jail.
You could tattoo beneath it in parentheses, "This is not a prison number."
That's hilarious. I'll let you do a barcode with it, you know, just do a barcode. Listeners, if you could
use Roman numerals, Jamie, and make it look like a brand on a Mustang.
Yeah.
That might look nice. Yeah,
A Mustang brand. Still looks like tattoo number. I mean, the prison number, I swear. So maybe artistically I can have that drawn inside of a horse and then whatever. I've never come up with an idea. And I'm looking at these and nobody else has any thoroughbred tattoo things either. So
I'm not going to find that.
Dang it. All right. What else you got?
What else have we got? Well, you know how Horse Nation, we really strive to be the Us Weekly of horses, of the horse world. We're all up in our celebrity equestrians. We are all up on stalking people online.
Oh, yeah.
We are the we are the stalker Ozzy for sure. Do you remember the Chevy commercial that came out over the summer it was like a girl and her truck, her truck and a horse.
Do
you remember that? Like it was an amazing commercial, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great. Way better than the guy and his truck thing. Yeah.
Oh, way better. Way better. Yeah. So when I saw that, you know, I just sort of assumed that it was the woman in the commercial was a model, you know, just somebody that, you know, some LA model that they'd you know, stuck a cowboy hat on and had a stunt double maybe for the shots of the person actually riding, the woman actually riding. But last week, Chevy released the story behind the commercial interview with the woman that is in the commercial. Her name is Nicole Rose. And she is not a model. She's actually a professional horse trainer from California.
No kidding.
She's actually a horse trainer. She rides like something like 10 horses a day and teaches lessons and actually owns a Chevy and is a champion barrel racer. So, of course, I was like, you know, like immediately I'm just obsessed with this woman. And I'm like, I have to find out more. And so started Googling. You know, I'm a professional Googler. And found out that, you know, where her stables is, what her riding background is. And it was actually really interesting. You know, not only is she a baller at Western riding, she is also does jumpers and three-day eventing. And, you know, I found a video of her jumping some pretty big fences at a horse show. And so I thought that was pretty neat. Way to go, Chevy.
That's awesome. You know? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you can find that on horsenation.com. And I must tell you that it makes me very happy. I posted this on my Facebook page. The 17 horses that look like Miley Cyrus. Speaking of celebrities.
That 17 horses that look like Miley Cyrus was definitely a stroke of genius.
It's shocking. It's so good. Have you seen this, Jennifer?
Yes, and you're right. It is shocking, funny but shocking.
It's like they nailed it. They nailed it. 17 horses that look like Miley Cyrus. It's on BuzzFeed, but yeah, I love that you guys link to it because you're everything horses. Now, finally, explain this story to me. Sorry, I've got a baby talking in the back here. Explain the story to me. I didn't watch it because it said I would cry, and I'm a crier anyway, so I didn't really need the help. Tell us what is going to make us cry on Horse Nation.
Okay. So it's the story of that was aired on I guess the Nature Channel. It was a collection of interspecies friendships on one of their nature animal odd couples program. And it's this horse named Charlie and a goat named Jack. And Charlie went blind in one eye, and his buddy, his goat buddy, Jack, sort of took it upon himself to become a seeing eye goat for Charlie and would sort of get on his good side, you know, get on the side of his good eye and, like, lead him to where the good grassy spots were.
Oh, I love these stories.
I know. I can't handle it. And then Charlie went blind in his other eye, but Jack the goat continued leading him around the farm. You know, Charlie would just sort of follow, listen for Jack's footsteps, and you know, follow him where he led him. And Jack was Charlie's protector. And there's even this really sweet part where There was a bad storm and some trees came down and trapped Charlie the horse in sort of a tangle of blown over trees. And Jack the goat went running back to the farm just screaming like a lassie, you know, Timmy's in the well.
No.
And led the owner out to Charlie the horse and they were able to get him out of the trees.
Oh, my gosh. It's like
trapped.
Black Beauty. When Black Beauty,
yes.
They're like, come on, Beauty, go across the bridge. And Beauty's like, I don't know why. I just didn't think I should go across the bridge, Beauty. And he whipped him, and he says, go across the bridge. Beauty's like, no, I can't. And then John got out and ran to the bridge and realized that the bridge was out in the middle. Thank God Black Beauty saved the day, saved everybody's lives. It's kind of like that, huh?
That's right. That's exactly what it's like. So sweet. And I won't even tell you how the story ends because you just have to watch it yourself. It's so sweet.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to watch it, aren't I? Oh, you didn't kill me. Well, Leslie, as always, it has been awesome to talk to you. Now, will you be spending this week going out to Galway and covering it? Will you go to Galway this weekend and hang out with me?
I want to go to Galway. No, I'm not, unfortunately. I that's like on my bucket list. It's to go to an event in California, at least to cover it. But I'm sure that Eventing Nation will have all the our sister site will have all the coverage one could need on Galway.
Well,
so
I'll have it
that.
Too. I'll have it too firsthand, and one of these days you're going to have to come hang out with me on the West Coast.
Oh man, I would love to.
You can expense it. I mean, you can write it off. Hello, for research, for work.
That's right.
That's why do you think that when I go to these horse trials, I do interviews with people?
Right.
You're lying.
Man, that's a good idea.
Listen, you guys, if you don't read Horse Nation every day, you should. HorseNation.com. Leslie, as usual, thank you so much for being on the show. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sure. Okay. Have a great one.
All right. Bye, girl.
Bye.
The laugh track of our lives right there.
I love that website. I'm serious. It's so great. It makes me
the
so happy.
The whole Miley Cyrus one is like, oh, that's scary creepy. Yeah.
I don't know where I found that, but I just was looking through something, and you know, they always say, if you like this article, read this one. And it popped up. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. So I posted it on my Facebook page. And I would like to say that I posted it on my Facebook page a day before Horse Nation linked it to it. So they must have got it from me. I'm pretty sure.
You got the scoop on Horse Nation.
I got the scoop. I scooped him.
Well, it's getting to be that hour of the morning here, Jamie. I think we need to wrap things up.
I've got to go. I've got a baby in my lap who's hungry, and he's going to cry. He's teetering on the edge right now, being a good boy. So, everybody, you guys have a great day. Spay. You can hit the music. And you want me to?
Oh, I have to hit the button, don't I? Closing. There we go. I'm ready. 3, 2, 1, button.
Spay, neuter, and geld, you guys. Thank you for joining us. Feel better, Glenn.
Yep.
Hopefully
go
you're
to the
after
store.
Your
the App Store, Horse Radio Network. Download it today.